Lord, may your word direct our minds, direct our hearts, and direct our wills to obey you. And we ask this for your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. 1 Peter chapter 4. It'd be great help to have your Bibles open there, because it's not the easiest of passages we're looking at on page 1220. Well, it is a sense of surprise and shock which Peter is warning against. Chapter 4, verse 12. Dear friend, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Rejoice that you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. He's warning against surprise when we as Christians suffer. And Jesus told us to take up our crosses and follow him. And we're to be under no surprise, but the normal Christian experience is very often that suffering. And we saw some weeks ago in 1 Peter 1 that we have a travel guide for God's scattered, suffering people given to us in this epistle. The epistle begins, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout in the names, which is modern day Turkey or Asia. We shouldn't be surprised when suffering comes. Oh yes, there are many blessings, as the verse John began the service with this morning reminded us of. But there is tough sides of Christian life as well. And we suffer now, and there's glory to come. Which chapter 1, verse 11, was a pattern of Jesus' life as well. Suffering, then glory. And we also, in a secondary sense, share in that suffering and then glory. It's not easy, is it, to accept that? A number of times in the Gospels, we read of those who'd followed Jesus turning their back on him because the teaching was hard. So John chapter 6, verse 66, we're told this, from this time many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Well, first thing to spot this morning is the reality of suffering, which I've touched on already. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Painful or fiery trial. This is the days of Nero, and yet literally people were undergoing fiery deaths as they were burnt to illumine the gardens of the pagan ruler for his parties. It could be a fiery time, literally, a painful time. But actually in 1 Peter, it's not just physical persecution, but also verbal. And we are to expect it because we participate in Christ's sufferings. It's part of the direction of travel if we're Christian. Now, we're not contributing to the atoning sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, but sometimes we suffer because of our allegiance to Jesus Christ. And if you think back over the chapters we've looked at, in chapter 4, verse 4, it's talked about how they heap abuse on you Christians. Chapter 3, verse 16, they speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 20, you suffer for doing good. Chapter 2, verse 12, they accuse you of doing wrong. If you live and speak for Jesus, you will suffer sometimes. And to expect an easy ride is not to have heard the contract, the promise Jesus gives his followers. If we suffer, it's because we're following him. And these trials are painful. Suffering is real, and some of you know that very much in your own circumstances, perhaps at work, perhaps of your families, perhaps in some other circumstance. The second thing I notice is the reason for suffering given in verse 14 onwards. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed. The Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. There is general suffering because of our rebellion, because of the fall. There's relationship strain, there's frustration at work, there's sickness, there's bereavement. And then, of course, there is that sinful couple behaviour, things like murder and thieving. And when we're known as Christians, we will suffer. Think about the Apostle Acts, chapter 5, verse 41. They were hauled in front of Sanhedrin because they were telling people about Jesus Christ, who died and risen. And Dr. Luke, in the book of Acts, says, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Are you willing to suffer disgrace for the name of Christ? I guess Nicky Turbell over there, who's working over his mission field, will be able to give us examples where Christians in their home country have suffered for the name of Jesus because they've given their allegiance to him as Lord and Saviour. Now, my Scottish history is not very good. It may be they disappear off from England and do their own thing. I hope not. But let me remind you of a bit of Scottish history. The name Campbell, the clan Campbell, the House of Argyll, was synonymous, is, with the Jacobite uprisings of the 17th century. So if your history of Scotland is good, you probably know a bit about that. And the clan Campbell was used by the English government to suppress and subjugate the surrounding clans. And they were seen as enemies of the other clans. So the Stuarts, the MacDonalds, the Robertsons, the MacPhersons all opposed the Campbells. There's a Jacobite rebellion. And if you were called Campbell, you were not welcome then, and still today in Scotland, if you have the surname Campbell, it shows long memory, they won't welcome you into their communities. It is still seen as a terrible name, and they will isolate you, and you may suffer in some way. Well, Christians carry the name not of Campbell, but of Jesus Christ. And Christ's pathway to glory was via suffering. And a similar way, Christian pathway to glory is not easy. It is very often through suffering. But notice also, don't be fooled if you suffer for being bad or unpopular at work. If you're annoying in your workplace, you can't blame Jesus for that. And then how about being a meddler mentioned? I hope nobody here meddles, because it's a very serious thing. I think sometimes we think we have a right to impose our views on our neighbours or others we come into contact with. But why should I be the moral policeman of a work situation, apart from a church context, or my neighbours, when they don't hold my worldview? It must bring a lot of bad reflection on Christ's name if there's Christians who are meddlers in things they shouldn't. And don't be surprised if you're left off invitations by your friends if you are somebody who is a meddler. But think also about what's happening with a name today, suffering for a name. In Nigeria, your church might be burnt down, your children could be kidnapped or murdered. In Iraq, in Syria, you might find yourself literally as an alien and a stranger in the world. In Egypt, you couldn't begin to build a church building. In the United States of America, there is the old Episcopalian Church, but it's also been set up the Anglican Confessing Church of North America. And the fastest declining church in the Anglican Communion is the American Episcopalian Church. They've thrown over historic Christian teaching, and their bishops and clergy have been performing same-sex marriages and entering themselves. They've lost all links, many of them, with any of the historical creed or beliefs of the Christian Church. And the Anglican Confessing Church of North America were taken to court over their use of their buildings. They built them sacrificially. And the court said actually they belonged to the diocese. So they said, fine, we'll begin again because we cannot be compromised. They suffered financially, I guess spiritually, very emotionally, losing where they worked from because they're faithful to Christ. Well, all sorts of reasons for suffering. But notice verse 14. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed. The Spirit of glory and God rests on you. It's an echo of Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, about how the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Messiah. And the messianic blessing extends to those who bear the name of the Messiah of Christ and suffer for it. The Old Testament Spirit of glory came on God's servants, the prophets as well. I've been a number of times into a hospital, perhaps a neonatal unit with tiny prem babies, perhaps a baby is dying, a much loved child, a parent, or a teenager dying. And you go and sit with those families, and the parents never leave the bedside. They're in night and day at the wards. They just want to be alongside that suffering, sick, dying child or teenager. If I may make an analogy, God is particularly present with his people when they suffer, a bit like loving parents are alongside their much loved children when they're dying or suffering. Reality of suffering, the reason for suffering. Well, the result of suffering is also mentioned, verse 17. For it's time the judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it's hard for righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Let's be honest, we think it's unfair, don't we, when we suffer in different ways. What's your ambition? To die peacefully at home in Wargrave with your extended family at your bedside, in a comfy home? See, suffering, Peter reminds us, is used by God for a purpose to refine his people. And the final judgment, says Peter, is now beginning in the church. And suffering is a guarantee that God's enemies will not escape God's judgment at the end. If you read about world missions, I try and keep up to date. You come down to places like Mozambique, and lots of false teachings come into church there. And there's a whole wealth and health idea being peddled around. And they say, if you're a Christian, you should be wealthy and healthy. You should never be sick. Of course, you should have a brand new BMW every couple of years. You know, it's very sort of exciting, isn't it, like that, to offer that sort of gospel. I'm being serious. It has even touched England at times in some churches. But that's nothing to do with the true gospel, which is about suffering. But I think there's a more dangerous gospel here in Wargrave. And that's the popularity gospel. And we say to ourselves, as someone said to me recently, in similar vein, God has plans for my life, and it's a lovely, leafy house, a big boat on the Thames, a respectable job, a guaranteed pension, and my mortgage paid off by the age of 52, and to be liked by everyone. And you could live like that, and just have Jesus in the background. Nothing wrong with those things. Nothing wrong with all. But Are we willing to put Christ first, whatever the cost? Sometimes we blame God because we think we should have a better deal. But perhaps a reminder here is not about the prosperity gospel or the popularity gospel, but actually a reminder that authentic New Testament Christianity, which will see you through the tough times, is the adversity gospel. And then the response to suffering. Response to suffering, verse 9. Word created only ever used once in the whole of the New Testament, I discovered this last week looking at it. Isn't verse 19 great? So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Trust yourself to the Creator God. He's the architect of all things. He sees what we go through. Remember Jesus saying, look, the hairs of your head are numbered. I feed the birds of the air, says God through Jesus. I care for them. And Jesus, when he suffered, kept on doing good. And so often we retreat into man-made security. We need to commit ourselves to God. God who watches over us. If suffering is not on the agenda for your life, do you need to step up to the authentic mark of New Testament Christianity in trusting, committing your souls to our faithful Creator? He has a plan. He will not abandon me or you when the going gets tough. And actually, he is faithful. Are we people who are willing, day by day, to live in this way? I wonder, do you spot, as you read that, how the word without is used in different ways? Without surprise when suffering comes, without seeking or deserving suffering, and without panic, in trusting ourselves to our faithful Creator. May we, each one of us, do that in the days ahead. A moment of quiet.
Short prayer. Yes, Heavenly Father, may we be those who are not ashamed if we have to suffer for the Christian faith, for the work or witness of Christ. Strengthen us, we pray. Amen.